So I am the resident this year for FSM. So what that means is I get to look at what it looks like to work in a ministry opportunity for a year. And so I get to work alongside the staff. And so I am so excited to be here today, and we're going to be studying Galatians 6. So you guys can go ahead and open up your Bibles, because that's where we'll be today. So a little bit about me. I grew up in FSM, and so I have sat right where you guys are today. And so I am so excited to be here and so humbled that I get to teach you guys about Galatians 6. So here is some pictures for when I was in cell group. And so if you see in the top right-hand corner, I am glaring at the camera, which I don't know why I was glaring, but I just think I was angry at something. And then on the left is one of my best friends, Maris, who's here. Raise your hand, Maris. Yes. We were at a retreat, and I was like, we should do this face. I think it'd be really funny. Yeah, it's really funny and really embarrassing. And then you can see just like different pictures. The one in the middle, that's when I went to Memphis. And so that's when I really experienced just like who Jesus says he is. And so that trip holds a special place in my heart. And then one of my favorite pictures is when me and my cell group won the dance competition in ninth grade at Chill Out. So that was one of my most favorite memories from cell group. It was so fun. And then at the bottom left, that was when we had our senior banquet. So that was really exciting because a lot of those girls in that picture, I got to walk with them all the way through from third grade until I graduated. And so today we're going to be looking at a more in-depth look on what Paul is saying as he's trying to finish up this letter. And so what he's trying to say is that followers of Jesus push others to Jesus. And so with that, we're going to be looking at how to, what's our purpose? When we are truly believers of Jesus, what do we get to do? What do we get to do together? Hey, JP, can you go ahead and hit the next slide for me? Thank you. So followers of Jesus push each other closer to Jesus. So when you have said, or when you decided to follow Jesus, what do you do now? Well, Paul is saying that we get to push others towards Christ. And that's exactly what Galatians 6 is talking about. And so here are our four main points that we're going to be jumping back and forth from. So the first one is followers of Jesus hold each other accountable. The second is to lay down your pride and pick up humility. You reap what you sow, and to not grow weary. And so with that, followers of Jesus hold each other accountable. So what we've been talking about the past couple weeks is that Paul is walking us through of how, what do we do now that we're followers of Jesus? We know that we're not supposed to live by this old law, but we still have a responsibility. We're free from the Mosaic law, but now we get to step out and say, okay, what's next? And so he's going to be addressing that perfectly. Even in this very first word, it says, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And he says, brothers. So it's saying, brothers and sisters who have proclaimed to follow Jesus, this is for you. And this is what I want to tell you. And so he's saying, listen, this is important. And then you can also see the word if. And that word is really important because it's saying, if anyone is to fall into a sin. But transgression is a little bit different than sin. It's talking more about an habitual sin. So it's saying that's something that you are constantly struggling in. You're constantly falling back into that same sin. You're constantly saying, I don't know what to do and I need help. So he's saying that if you are a true follower of Jesus, you shouldn't be surprised. You shouldn't be surprised when people in your cell group fall. You shouldn't be surprised. That's why the word if is right there, because we will fall. I've fallen many times in my own life. And so this is so important to say that, what do we do when people sin? Like, what do we do when we see this sin that is constantly hurting them? And so the question is, what do you do when you see fellow believers living in habitual sin? What do you do when you just got back from fall retreat a couple months ago? What are you doing now that's different? And that night you said, I'm going to do all these things when I go back into school. When I go back into Harbor, when I go back into Springdale, or RHS, or BHS, what's different? Is anything different in your life? And so Paul is saying, he sees that we are stuck. He sees that we need help. And so here are some pictures from y'all's past couple events. So some good old chill out pictures, and then some great pictures from Fall Retreat, and then even from Celebration. And so I just want to show this to you guys because This is where you guys are at. What is different from that moment that you were sitting in that cabin and you said, I'm going to walk away from this sin and I'm no longer going to do that anymore? Are you actually doing it? And so Paul is saying to us, to the believers, how do we hold each other accountable? How do we actually walk with people that are struggling? And so it says, you who are spiritual. So he's saying, if you follow Jesus and you see people struggling, you who are spiritual, so mature in your faith, you get to restore him. You get to restore her, people in your cell group. So when you see girls in your cell group struggling, you guys get to point them out. Or guys, when you see guys that are struggling in your cell group, it is your responsibility to point them out. Yes, cell group leaders are there, but the people in your cell group can call you out too. If they are truly walking with Jesus and truly have given your life to Jesus and walking by the Spirit, then this is our responsibility, and that's what Paul is trying to get at. So raise your hand if you have ever broken a bone before. Raise your hand. Okay, what did you break? A bone. Fingers? Okay, what else? Who else? Who else? Who else? What'd you break? Arm? What else? Both? You got arm? Okay. Preston? Okay. Thank you. And so what Paul is saying with restoring, he's saying that when you see someone struggling, hey guys, pay attention. When you guys see someone struggling in your cell group, he said it's going to be painful. That's why he's saying restoring. Because what he means by restoring is that you're bringing them back to the right relationship in Christ. Because it says it's going to be painful. So with some of the bone breaks that y'all have had, they're going to take a lot longer to heal than some other ones. Like a finger may not take as long as a broken hip or a broken collarbone or a broken arm. Like some of them may take a lot longer to heal than others. But what do you do? Like what do you do when you break a bone? What do you put around that broken bone? A cast, yeah, because it's to protect it. And so that's what Paul is saying. He's saying that when you are restoring someone in Christ, it's going to take a lot longer for some sin than others. And so he's saying that it's going to be hard, but it's worth it. It's going to be painful, but it's worth it. And so the next part, he says, how should we restore someone? What are we supposed to do when we see someone? We're supposed to do it in a spirit of gentleness. We're supposed to do it in a way that's not harmful. We're not supposed to do it in a way that hurts. We're supposed to say, hey, I'm here. I want to be there with you. But then there also comes a question of, why don't we do this? Why don't we call our brothers and sisters out with Christ? And so the first one is a comparison excuse. We say, oh man, you're struggling with that? That sin's maybe not as bad, or I'm also struggling with that. Like, the comparison of, I don't think I have the right to call them out. I'm just going to let them keep struggling and keep letting them do what they're doing. And then the next one is the envy excuse. You go, wow, I really wish I was at that party. Oh, I really wish I was drinking. So you're not going to call them out because you wish you were living the life that they are. And so you just keep watching them struggle and you see them show up at cell group every single week knowing that it's destroying them. And then the next one is the approval excuse. So you're saying, I love their friendship so much that I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to let them keep doing what they're doing. I'm going to see them at school, see how they're struggling and just keep going because I love their friendship more than calling them out. And then the last one is the fear excuse. You say, man, I'm really scared. I don't have the confidence. I can't do it. So every time it kind of comes up, you just brush it off your shoulder and you go, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm scared. Like, I'm not good enough. I'll just let my cell group leader do that. It's like, no, Paul is saying this is our responsibility as believers. And so I think for me, I usually sit in the approval excuse. When I was in cell group, I saw cell girls struggle every single time. And yes, I had my own struggles. But I saw sin that was really hurting them. And I went, nope, I'm not going to do it because I love their friendship more than calling them out. But if you really love their friendship, you would call them out because you care more about their heart than you do about their ego. And so that is where I struggled. And something that I'm learning through this is saying that, like, yeah, it may hurt their feelings, but in the end, we're restoring them. We're bringing them back to the right relationship with Jesus. And so Paul is trying to end this letter, and he's trying to get all the words out before he's trying to move on. And he's saying, keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. So saying that, okay, while you're going, and while people are calling you out, make sure it's by someone who is a faithful follower of Jesus. Make sure it's someone who's really walking in step with the Lord, because this is something that the Galatian, like something he's been trying to tell the church of Galatia this entire time. It's like, even in chapter 3, it says, you were being deceived by people when I left. And so he's saying, make sure it's someone that you can trust and you know that is walking in the Spirit and their actions reflect that. And so there's a verse that goes well with this. It's in Matthew 7:5, and it says, "You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." So saying, like, before you even call someone out, make sure you're not struggling with the same thing. Like, you really have a problem, like, drinking, you shouldn't be calling someone out for drinking. Like, you need to step back, and you need to realize that you need to get right with the Lord before you can call anyone out for that, whether that's going to a cell leader, whether that's going to someone that disciples you, or your parents who are following the Lord, saying, like, hey, like, I need help. Because you can't call people out on things you're struggling with. And so that is something that Paul is saying, like, you must examine your own heart. You must see those things that you're struggling with, because in the end, it's not going to do any good. And so Paul later explains and says, bear one another's burdens. So this is what he's getting at. He's like, this is why we do this. Bear means to carry, to lift that pressure off of you, and saying that, wow, because you are struggling, let me step alongside of you and kind of even the load, because I'm going to be with you and I'm going to be right next to you. And so I've seen this phrase, coffee cups, t-shirts, everywhere, but I didn't really know what it meant. But it's saying, like, what you're supposed to do, you're supposed to be with that person and be with them through the mess. You're not just supposed to bypass them, but you're supposed to sit with them and says, I don't care how long it takes to get rid of this sin, but I'm going to be there for you like a cast, and I'm going to watch while it heals and be there with you. And so there are two words that perfectly describe this, which one is empathy and sympathy. So with this, sympathy can be seen as you're walking by this well, and you see someone in the well saying, hey, I need help. Will you help me? And you go, I don't think so. Like, I see you're struggling with something, but I'm going to keep going. So even with cell group, like, place someone in your cell group that you know is hurting. And you see them and you go, no, like, I'm not going to do that. And yes, sympathy is not a bad thing. But in this situation that Paul is talking about, you want something different. It's okay to have sympathy for someone. If one of their family members dies, it's okay to be like, wow, like, my heart hurts for them. But Paul is calling us to something so much greater. He's saying, no, I want you to get down into the well with him. I want you to be sitting on the ground in the muck, in the water, looking up and seeing the light with them and saying, I'm sitting here with you because I love you and I'm here. And not just bypassing them and saying, that really stinks. I'm really sorry you're struggling with pornography. I'm really sorry you're struggling with drinking. I'm really sorry, but I'm not going to do anything about that. But Paul is saying, no, no, no. I want you to bear one another's burdens. I want you to sit with them in that mess. And so Paul even goes on to later say that says, like, you may not feel like anyone knows that you're hurting, but people that hang out with you a lot can see when something's wrong. And that's what Paul is saying, is like, do not be scared to call someone out. Do not be scared. Do not go towards the approval excuse. Do not go towards the fear excuse. It's saying, no, you need to be there now. And so he later goes on and says, well, why do we bear each other's burdens? Because he wants us to do something bigger. He wants us to fulfill the law of Christ, which instead of going towards the old ways, instead of going towards the old Mosaic law, which says you have to work for your freedom and you have to work for all of these things, it says, no, you get to step into love, and you get to love your brothers well. And I think it perfectly describes it well in this verse. It says, Galatians 5:13-14, for you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And that's what Paul is getting at. It's like, you shouldn't just be doing this to do it. Like, you should do this because he's commanding us to do it. So if you think you don't have a responsibility in this when you see other people struggling, you do. And that is something that I really struggled with in cell group, going, oh, it's not, I don't need to do it. It's okay. He says, no, Melanie, you get to do this because this is my commandment. And it's saying, okay, I know it's going to be hard, but it's worth it. And I've seen this play out in my own life. Here are some pictures of some of my best friends. In the bottom right-hand corner, that is my cell group leader, Paige Brown. Was my cell group leader, started with me in third grade all the way through now, and she's my mentor. And so here are some pictures of people that I can look at them, and I know 100% that Maris would call me out for something and saying, Melanie, I'm seeing this in your life, and I can see it hurts. But I love you enough to tell you, so I'm not going to go into the approval excuse. And saying, I'm not going to be scared to hurt your ego. I'm not going to be scared to do that. But I care more about your soul than how you feel about me in that moment. And this is something that I've been challenged with while I've been preparing for this talk. It says, Lord, give me the confidence to do this in my own life. And already seeing how the Lord is doing that. And so with this, Paul later goes into it, says, okay, what happens if your friends come up to you? What happens if someone in your cell group says, hey, I really see you struggling with this. How are we supposed to react? And it says, lay down your pride and pick up your humility. It's saying that in these verses, it says, for if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. So saying that if people come up to me that I know that are following the Lord, I need to drop my pride and say, thank you. Thank you for telling me that I've been struggling with this. Thank you that I thought I was the only one at the bottom of this well, but thank you for stepping down in the well with me, no matter how long it takes to restore me, to bring me back to the right relationship with the Lord. And that's what he's calling us to do. And so the reason why we're doing this is because we love each other, and that is the law. And so the next one is you reap what you sow. So whatever you pour into each other, that's what you're going to get out. And Paul goes into this even more and says, for the one who is taught the word, share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And you can see how in this beginning you're like, why is the, do not be deceived? And going back to how people were listening to false teachers. And so he's saying, like, you need to be careful who you're getting that from. And then he later goes into this idea of sowing and reaping. But what he's meaning by sowing and reaping, he's telling them about farming. He's saying that the word sow means to plant or spread among the earth. And then the word reap means the harvest, so you pick it up when it's time. And so Paul is saying that is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to sow good things into people, like into your cell girls, into those cell guys when you call each other out. You're supposed to say, okay, like I love you enough to tell you this and I want to sow good things. But what are you supposed to put into them? When you say, okay, like I don't know how to encourage you best. And Amy talked about it perfectly last week about the fruit of the Spirit. They're all one. And so what are the fruit of the Spirit? Can someone name them all for me? Someone? Anybody? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Above there is no other law. And so with that, he's saying that is what we're supposed to be sowing into each other. We're supposed to be sowing in love, not hate, not ignoring what people are struggling with. And so he's saying that what you sow in is what you're going to get out. And you can see that with these two pictures up here. The one on the left is, you can see that the farmer took time and put those seeds into the earth, but didn't take care of them. He wasn't putting the right water. He wasn't giving them enough water. All those different things, you can see how it ended poorly, and it resulted in death. And that happens with sin. Sin makes everything fall apart. And so by not sowing good things in, you're going to get that. So if we're not sowing those into each other, like if we're not sowing the fruit of the Spirit into each other, it's going to result in that. Nothing good is going to come out of it. You're going to stay in that sin cycle. But if we sow in the fruit of the Spirit, look how plentiful that is. And I'm not saying it's going to be overnight where you're going to talk to that person and they're going to be best friends with them the next day. It may take time, but I hope and I pray that one day they thank you and say, wow, thank you for pointing that out. Thank you for telling me because I know I've been hurting. And so that's why we've been pouring all these truths into you of why the fruit of the Spirit is so important, because that's how we encourage people. Because if someone came up to me and was being mean or was trying to put things into me that was not good, it's going to end in destruction like those plants. That's going to be really hard. And so Paul later goes on to say, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap. If we do not give up, so then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone and especially to those who are of the household of faith. And saying, it's going to be hard. I'm not going to say it's going to be a walk through the park and everything's going to be okay all the time. It's going to be tiring. You're going to want to quit. You're going to want to give up on your friends. But I'm telling you, it's worth it. It's so worth it. And someone in my life, even Paige, how I was saying earlier, she stayed with me all the way from third grade until high school and even till now. And so with that, I could see how sometimes I was like, wow, it was probably really hard to deal with when she saw the sin that I was stuck in and kept pointing it out, but I chose to not. I chose to not do anything about it. And so that's something that happens when we call each other out. You can pour love into them, but they have to make that choice by themselves to step out of that sin. That's not on you. But our responsibility is to go to them and say, hey, I love you enough. I'm going to tell you these things. I'm going to walk away from all the excuses, and I'm going to step into this. And so Paul later goes on to just do not grow weary. To not grow weary of doing good, because in time you will reap. And some of the things I'm waiting to see the Lord work in different parts of my life. With friends, with situations, and something that I'm even discovering in one of my friendships, it's hard. I can use every excuse, every single thing I want, but the Lord is telling me, and Paul is even telling us, it's like, we get to do this. We get to call each other out because we love each other, and that's how we fulfill the law. Because followers of Jesus puts each other closer to Jesus. Because we love each other enough, we're going to do that. And we're going to say, I'm going to stop looking at all these excuses, and I'm going to do it. Which then goes into, what now? What I want y'all to do either today or through this next week is to just stop what you're doing and look at these questions. Who is holding you accountable? That is a really scary thing, to be held accountable for something. Because every time that you mess up, you go to them and say, hey, I messed up. But out of the spirit of gentleness, they get to say, hey, I love you. Thank you for telling me. How can I love you best? And so that is what Paul is saying to us. It's like, it's going to be hard. Restoring hurts. There are so many times in my life where I was so thankful people came up to me and said, Melanie, like, this is an area you're really struggling with. You're really struggling with that you have to be perfect all the time. You're really struggling that you have to do all these things to earn the approval of others. It's like, stop trying so hard. And that's what I needed. But how would they know that's where I was if I was never honest with them and I said, hey, I'm hurting? And there are so many times in college where I got to sit across with my friends in the morning and share a cup of coffee or a donut and say, I need help. Can you help me through this? And they did. And I'm so thankful of that. They hurt my pride. But they instead decided to pick me up and love me through it. And then the next question is, why aren't you holding others accountable? Like, what excuse are you? I know for me it was the approval excuse. I know that was for me for sure. And so I just want to encourage you guys, whatever excuse or whatever lie you're hearing to not call someone out, that's from the enemy. That's not of the Spirit. Fear is not part of the fruit of the Spirit. That is not at all. And that is something I'm learning a lot about anxiousness and fear is not from the Lord. And so with that, I just want to encourage you guys that it's worth it. It's worth to call each other out because followers of Jesus push each other closer to Jesus. And I know as you guys leave, you'll say, what do I do? Do this. Find someone that you can sit with, whether that's a cell leader or sit with someone that you can trust and say, hey, I need to walk through this. Because I know that they care, but it's scary. But I'm asking you guys to step out of that and to be confident that the Lord will carry you through and lead you exactly where you need to be. And so with that, I would love to close this in prayer. So go ahead and close your Bibles. And just say that it's worth it. This is how we get to fulfill the law. And that is what Paul is wanting us to do, is that we get to bear one another's burdens. We get to sit with them and we get to watch them. And we get to sit with them in that well that it's hard and it's dark, but they need you as fellow believers. I know I've been so encouraged by that. And so as you guys leave, I just want to pray the confidence. I just want to pray confidence that if you feel a tug on your heart to go call someone out or needing to check your own heart, I pray that you do that in confidence and say you're not alone. Because maybe that person has also struggled with that and they can walk you into the light in that area. Dear Lord, I want to thank you for just today, just to sit with these students and just to be with these students to see how much you love us and you are the perfect example. You never grew weary. You have never given up on us. You are with us always. And so thank you for being constant and someone that we can lean on for just the privilege of getting to call one another out and getting the privilege of just being one with each other. And so I pray that they would be encouraged as they leave, that the cell groups that they have, those are there for a reason. And that the girls and the guys that are in there are there for a reason and that they need to go to them and ask them to help hold them accountable. Lord, I thank you. And I pray that as these students leave, that they would walk with confidence and know that it's worth it because this is the way that we get to fulfill the law is to love one another. And by doing that, if we truly love them, we will call them out. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.